And if you have your Bibles, and you should have, turn to Matthew chapter number 27. No, I'm sorry, chapter number 14. Well, that's a long ways apart, ain't it? I was looking at a verse in chapter 27. Matthew chapter 14. I'm going to try to preach a message tonight. When will they ever learn? I tell you, we need to learn.
Amen.
Matthew 14. Jesus is he's a wonderful Savior. He's a wonderful friend. And I'm glad that I can call Him my friend, and I hope that He can call me His friend.
Amen.
I know He's my friend. He said, greater love hath no man than this, that he'd lay down his life for his friends. And He did that for me, and I know He's my friend tonight.
Yes,
and I tell you, I hope that He's your friend tonight too. Matthew 14, beginning with verse number 22. And straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to go before Him and to the other side, while He sent the multitude away. And when He had sent the multitude away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the even was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered Him and said, Lord, if it be Thou, bid me to come unto Thee on the water. And He said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped Him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Father, we thank You for the reading of Your Word tonight. We ask You, Lord, to anoint the preacher. Lord, I can do nothing without You, Father. God, we settled that a long time ago. Lord, I just ask You to be with me tonight. Help me, dear Lord, to bring the message that this congregation needs to hear. Lord, I ask You, Father, to help us to figure out and learn about You tonight. God, I just want to learn about Your ways and learn to walk with You. God, help us this evening, Father. Bless in the message. God, bless in the invitation afterwards. And God, touch hearts and souls here tonight as only You can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, the Bible said here that Jesus, in the verse 22, He said, in straightway, Jesus compelled the disciples to get into a ship and go to the other side while He sent the multitude away. Now, I was told you I'm going to preach tonight with the help of the Lord on when will they ever learn. I guess a better question would be, when will we ever learn? I know a lot of people don't know yet who Jesus is. And you say, preacher, I'm saved. Well, I am too. But you know something? We still got a lot of learning to do.
Amen.
And we need to be learning every day. We need to be learning more about Jesus all the time. Our choir sings a song that says, I want to know more about my Jesus. I want to know more about my Lord. And I tell you, we ought to want to know more about Him each and every day that we live in. Amen. The Lord is so good to every individual on the face of the earth, and most of them don't even realize it. I know God's blessed us, and I could stand here for a day and talk about the blessing that God has given me, and I wouldn't even be scratching the surface, and I know that you could too. I told you about a group one time that I handed them a piece of paper and said, write down 10 things that you're thankful for. And about 30 minutes later, I started asking them, what did you write down? And they said, I couldn't think of a single thing. I want to tell you something. If you can't think of something that you're thankful for that God has done for you, you must have mush instead of brains. Because I'm telling you something tonight, God is good to all of us, every single one of us. Where do we think the breath of life comes from? All that God would have to do is just cut off the oxygen for about a minute and a half or 2 minutes, and just about everybody on earth would be dead. I'd be the first one to go. I'd get in a swimming pool or a lake, and I'd go underwater, just see how long I could hold my breath. I'm pretty good too. I had a good set of lungs, and I was in pretty good shape. But I tell you something, the other day I just thought about that, and I timed myself about 20 seconds, I think, or something like that. Hey, after about 30 seconds, I'd be turning blue, and then anything over that, I'd be passed out, I'm sure. But you see, God gives us the breath of life. Scientists say, well, the plants that is on the earth, that's what gives off oxygen. Maybe it is. I don't know. I'm not going to get into a scientific debate because I couldn't prove it any more than they can. But I tell you one thing, if that is where the oxygen comes from, it's a good thing God put the plants where He did, because it still all comes from God. Any way you slice the pie tonight, it still comes from the same place. You can explain it ever how you want to. It all comes directly from God, and every individual on the face of the earth has oxygen, and God blessed them with it, gave them to it, and most people don't even realize it, and they never look up and say, God, I thank you for the blessing that you give me. People lay down at night and go to sleep, and they think, boy, I'm really lucky, I get to sleep good. No, you're not. God blessed you with a good night's sleep, and God could take that away from you just as easily. I tell you all the time, my biggest problem about sleep is staying awake long enough to get to the bed. I mean, hey, I have no problem sleeping whatsoever. But you know something, every once in a while, God wants to talk to me, and He'll wake me up in the middle of the night, and He says, you're not going back to sleep. You might as well get up and go get on your face before me, because we're going to talk, and I've got some things I need to explain. I've got some things I need to teach you. I need to show you something, and you can't learn while you're asleep, and He'll disturb my sleep every once in a great while. But you know something, I'm even thankful for the time when God wakes me up. My, the Creator of the whole universe wakes me up at night just to talk to me. Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that a God, a creator of heaven and earth and the universe would even want to speak to me at all? But I tell you, I'm blessed.
Amen.
And so is most other people, but they'll never acknowledge the blessing that God give them.
Amen.
In Matthew chapter number 8, Jesus healed a leper. I'm just going to mention a few things that Jesus has done here only in the book of Matthew. And I know a lot of the things in Mark, Luke, and John is a repeat of what Matthew said. And I know there's also other things in those other books that Matthew didn't mention. And I'm not even going to go through the whole book of Matthew. I'm just talking about for the past few chapters in the book of Matthew, chapter number 8, Jesus healed a leper. And in chapter number 8, he healed a centurion's servant.
Yes.
And in chapter number 8, he healed Peter's mother-in-law.
Yes.
And in chapter number 8, he calmed the raging sea.
Yes.
When the disciples went to him and said, "Lord, don't you care that we perish?" And he got up and said, "Peace, be still."
Yes.
And the sea calmed down. That's chapter number 8. In chapter number 8, he cast out devils at Gadara. In chapter number 9, the Bible said he healed a man of the palsy. In chapter 9, he healed 2 blind men, and he healed several people at Galilee. We don't even know how many there was there. And they brought the sick and afflicted to him, and he healed them. I don't know how many it was that he done at Galilee. In chapter number 12, he healed a withered hand. And in chapter 12, he healed a man that was blind and dumb, had a blind and dumb spirit on him. And Jesus cast the spirit out and opened up his ears and his eyes. And listen, I was in chapter number 12. In chapter number 14, just ahead of where we read, Jesus fed 5,000 with just a few loaves and a few fishes.
Amen.
And now we're down here into verse number 22.
Amen.
And he sent the disciples away, and they're out on the ship.
Yes.
And the Bible said in verse 24, the ship was now in the midst of the sea, and there must have been a storm raging because the waves were crashing against the ship.
Yes.
And the disciples were in trouble. In verse number 25, the 14th chapter, Jesus went unto them walking on the water. Listen, I want to tell you something. He sent the multitude away in about verse number 23. And the Bible said then he went up on a mountain to be by himself. He went up there and prayed. Who do you think he was praying for? Them disciples out there in the middle of that sea. That's who. I tell you, I thank God he prayed for me. And in verse number 25, the Bible said he saw them in distress and he came to them walking on the sea. I want to tell you something. Jesus is a miracle worker. Jesus is a blesser. Jesus will bless you. He'll give you what you have need of if you'll only trust him and accept what he has for you.
Amen.
Verse number 26, the disciples saw him walking on the sea and they was troubled, saying, "It's a spirit." They thought they'd seen a ghost.
Yes.
And they cried out for fear. Verse number 26, or verse 27, Jesus assured the disciples, he said, "It is I, be not afraid."
Amen.
And then in verse number 28, Peter said, "Lord, if it be you, bid me to come to you on the water." You know, he's the only one that had that thought. Wonder where that thought came from. I don't know if a man anywhere else in the world has ever thought about walking on water. And the disciples, there's 12 of them on the ship, I think. The Bible said in verse 22, he sent the disciples on the ship to go the other side. So I'm assuming this was the 12 disciples. Now, it could have been more people than that on the ship. The Bible don't really say, but I think it's the 12 disciples going to the other side to wait on Jesus. Now, I don't know how they thought he was going to get there. They never thought about him coming walking on the sea. But Peter said, "Lord, if that be you, bid me to come to you on the water." And Peter and Jesus said, "Come on, Peter." And so the Bible said that Peter stepped out of the boat. In verse number 29, Peter got down out of the ship and walked on the water. How far did he walk? I don't know. He walked so far he couldn't reach the ship. I know that. Because when the waves got boisterous and the wind got boisterous, he started sinking. And instead of grabbing hold of the ship, he cried out, "Lord, save me." I'm pretty sure he couldn't reach the ship.
Amen.
He walked that far.
Sure.
I always, in my mind, I see him walking almost all the way where Jesus was.
Amen.
Ever how far that was, I don't know. But he was close enough to Jesus that when he said, "Save me," Jesus reached out his hand and got a hold of him.
Amen.
Of course, I know Jesus could move real fast and situation. He did tonight. I called. He moved all the way from heaven to earth to save me in just an instant. So I know he can do that. But I just figure Peter was pretty good away from that ship. And them disciples standing on the ship saying, "Do you see that? Are you seeing what I'm seeing? Peter's walking on the water." Why didn't some of the rest of them get out? I don't know. I don't have a clue. But I know one thing. When the waves started dashing and the wind was blowing, and I guess the waves splashed over Peter's feet, and he got fearful and began to sink, and he cried, "Lord, save me." And Jesus reached out and got a hold of him. I'm talking about the miracles that's been done in Matthew from about chapter number 8 up to chapter number 14. And I'm not even going past that. Listen, in the 29th verse, Peter walked on water. Man, that's a miracle. I think Peter's the only person in the world besides Jesus ever walked on water. Now, I can't say that. I can't prove that. Might have been somebody had a need at one time or another to walk on water, and maybe they did. I don't know. I mean, hey, if God said you can walk on water, I'd just stand back and say, "Go get it." I mean, hey, you could do that if the Lord told you to.
Amen.
I believe that.
Amen.
Preacher, I sink right through water. Not if the Lord's holding you up, you won't.
Right.
You won't sink through nothing if God's got a hold of you. But Peter walked on water for a little ways. Then the waves got boisterous in verse number 30, and he began to be afraid and started to sink. And he cried out, and Jesus saved him. Listen, when I cried out, Jesus saved me. Jesus reached out his hand in verse 31 and caught him. Verse 32, and the Bible said, and when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Oh, listen, that's the second time that Jesus calmed the storms here in the book of Matthew. The first time was back over there, I guess, in chapter number 8, he calmed the troubled sea. And here in chapter 14, he done it again. And there's two different occasions where he fed 4,000 on one occasion and 5,000. And that's only counting men. That's not, they didn't count the women and children, only the men. For the 5,000 men here in chapter 14, he fed 5,000 men, not counting women and children.
Right.
And so I'm guessing if everybody had one child apiece, that's 15,000. And if they had two children, that's 20,000. I mean, how big of a miracle was that? I don't know how big it was, because I don't know how big those families were that were there. But I'm telling you something today, there's nothing that my God can't do.
Amen.
When will they ever learn? When will we ever learn?
Amen.
God's, listen, Jesus went away and he said, "I got to go away, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'll send the Holy Ghost. I'm going to pray the Father, and he'll send another comforter." And I'm glad he did. He said, "I'm going to go away, but he's going to come, and he's going to live inside of you." I'm glad he's there. I'm glad I feel his presence when I come into the house of God. I'm glad I feel his presence when I go in my own house. I'm glad I feel his presence driving down the road. I'm glad I feel his presence when I'm sitting on the back porch in my sway. Listen, I can feel the presence of God anywhere that I'm at, because he sent the Holy Ghost to dwell inside of me.
Amen.
When we ever going to learn? Man, I tell you something, there's something to be learned. All these things, and the reason I went back and I looked through the early parts of Matthew, and the Sermon on the Mount was back there, and some other things, but the miracles seem like they started in about chapter number 8. So in 6 chapters, that's all the miracles I've talked about, and there's more behind this even. I'm not going to even get into that. But what I'm getting into tonight, and what I'm trying to get to tonight in the message is tonight, that the Bible said, and when they came on the ship, the wind ceased.
Amen.
These disciples that was on this ship, and they were afraid. And when they saw Jesus walking on the water, they got even more afraid. They only thought they was afraid to start with. Now they're really afraid. And Jesus said, "Don't be afraid, because it is I."
Amen.
We don't need to be afraid when Jesus is in our presence. He's in the midst of the storms.
Amen.
He's in all the troubles that I walk through every day of my life. Man, when I had an accident one time, totaled a tractor and trailer, Jesus was there holding my hand. I tell you, without Him, I wouldn't be here tonight, no doubt. Listen, I've had accidents. I've took falls. I've took tumbles. I've bumped my head. I've had bicycle wrecks. And I know you have too. But what I'm trying to say tonight is, God has blessed. Jesus was there through every one of those problems that I had. He's never left me alone. Going off that mountain into Albuquerque, New Mexico. Hit that icy bridge, and man, I didn't know which side I was going to wreck on, but I knew it was fixing to be a bad wreck. I was folded up one way with that truck. I was folded up the other way. I didn't know if I was going off the side of the mountain on the left or up the side of the mountain on the right. But I tell you something, it wasn't very long. Jesus reached out and straightened the whole mess out and said, "Not today, devil. Not today." Listen, I want to tell you something. I have learned that Jesus can take care of me when I can't take care of myself.
Amen.
Man followed me off that mountain that day. After a few minutes, I think everybody was terrified. He finally keyed microphone on his CB and said, "Driver, I ain't ever seen nobody drive like that before." I said, "You still ain't." Because it wasn't me. I lost it way back up yonder. That was a greater power than me that had a hold of this thing. Listen, Jesus will hold you in the road when the devil's trying to run you out. Jesus will stop you when the devil's trying to run you into something. Jesus will hold you up. Listen, the devil in the fourth chapter of Matthew told Jesus, he said, "The Father has given charge to the angels, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone." I want to tell you something. He's given the same charge over me. The Lord, the angel of God, my angel that follows me around, my guardian angel, he holds on to me. And you say, "Preacher, I don't believe that." Well, I don't believe it. I don't care. But I do, and I'd rather enjoy believing.
Amen.
He's holding me lest any time I dash my foot against a stone. You mean you've never dashed your foot against a stone? Yeah, I did, but God knew I was going to do it before I done it. I mean, hey, we're going to have problems, but there ain't nothing going to happen to us that don't run by Jesus first. You hear what I'm telling you? Everything that happened to you today went through Jesus before it got to you. Sometimes we have to face things. Sometimes we do. People love the blessings, but they hate the trials. Well, I don't blame you. I do too. I'm not real fond of the trials, but the Bible said that we should joy and rejoice in the trying of our faith.
Yes.
Because it works patience. Yes. It's kind of hard to do, and it's kind of bad to say, and I'm not going to stand and say I really am thrilled about it, but I want to tell you something. If every minute we spent was up on the mountaintop, we'd never know what the mountaintop was like. We have to get down in the valley every once in a while. We have to get down in despair. We have to get discouraged. We have to get a little bit of stuff wrong with us every once in a while in our life, so that when it's all over with, then we can realize what it was like to be up on that mountain.
Amen.
My dad's got one of his favorite sayings is, if you hurt yourself, he'll say it feel better when it quits hurting. And it does. It always does. You know, you're sick, you say it feel better when you get over it, you know. I mean, he don't mean nothing bad by that, but it's kind of a joke with him, but it's the truth. It's the truth. You get down the valley with Jesus and you're walking through the valley and you're facing things and you're maybe life is not just as happy and as you think it ought to be, but that's okay, because it'll feel better when you get up on top of that mountain. If you stayed up there all the time, you just wouldn't appreciate it at all.
Amen.
You know, people that got anything they want don't appreciate nothing. They don't. I've heard rich people talking, two ladies one time, both of them multimillionaires, and one of them told the other one, they said, "I always figured if I got to the point where I could buy anything I want, I'd be the happiest person in the world." And she said, "You know what, when I got to the point where I could buy anything I wanted, you know what I found out? I don't want nothing." So I'm still not happy.
Amen.
What I'm saying tonight is, if everything was just handed to us on a silver platter, you wouldn't appreciate
Amen.
Any of it. And I can prove that, because how many of you today stopped and said, God, I thank you for the air I breathe?
Yes.
See, you take that for granted. How many of us today said, God, I'm thankful that I'm not sick. I can go to church tonight.
Yes.
We take that for granted.
Yes.
How many got here tonight and backed into your parking space or pulled into it, and you pulled in safely and got out of the car and said, thank you, Lord, for another safe trip. Listen, we take those things for granted, like God owes it to us. God don't owe us nothing, but He blesses us with all things, and we just take it for granted. When are we ever going to learn? All these, listen, most of the disciples, and I think Matthew was kind of a latecomer, but Jesus called Peter and John and James, and he began to call his disciples. And it was a little bit later on when he found Matthew sitting at the receipt of customs. And you read through the book of Matthew, and some of the things that Matthew talks about, I think he just talks about it from hearing other people talk about it, because he wasn't actually there when it happened.
Yeah.
But the disciples were with him when all those miracles that I mentioned a few minutes ago were done. The disciples were there and they saw that.
Amen.
And even just probably within the last 6 or 8 hours before this instance where Jesus was walking on the water, he fed 5,000. And they were there. The disciples set the people down, and they passed out the food and took up the baskets of fragments that was left over. They saw that. Did they learn? I don't think so. Because when he came on the ship and the wind ceased, this already happened once. What's so special about this time? Do they forget what happened just a little bit earlier? Same thing. It's a little different instance where it happened, but the same thing. But in verse 33, then they that were on the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Who did they think he was before? Why did it take so long for them to realize? And I know Jesus asked Peter on one occasion, I think a little later on than this, he said, who do men say that I am? And he said, they say you're Elias, they say you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said, but who do you say I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Amen.
They got it by then.
Amen.
But listen, all these miracles that he did from chapter 8 to chapter 14, and even in this very chapter, feeding 5,000 with just a few loaves and a few fishes, and then it took him walking on the water, calming the storm the second time, and Peter walking on the water, and Jesus saving Peter from drowning, and getting on the ship and the sea calming. And when all that happened, they came and worshipped and said, truly, you are the Son of God. They just now figure that out. A lot of people go through their whole life and never figure it out.
Amen.
I wonder, and it's a sobering thought, and I don't mean to preach on death all the time. I'm not trying to get everybody down and out and all that, but listen, I just want you to realize death is a reality.
Amen, brother.
And it could come to any of us at any time.
Amen, brother.
But how many people do you think died today? You can look on the internet and it'll give you statistics how many people die every day in the United States alone. How many of those do you think died and went to hell? 90% of them, most likely. I'll tell you something. That's a bunch of people that died today. They was here yesterday breathing God's air. that they wasn't thankful for. They was eating their groceries that God blessed them with that they were not thankful for. They was living the life that had everything given to them. They had health, they had strength, they had everything they needed, and they was thankful for nothing. They never stopped to realize that surely Jesus is the Son of God.
Amen.
And then they all of a sudden their breath left their body and they fell off into hell like the rich man in the book of Luke. And in hell they lift up their eyes and say, now I realize that truly you was the Son of God.
Amen.
Too late then. Man, when you cross that line, there ain't no coming back. There's a lot of lines you can cross, you can get back. Not that line. Man, when you cross that line, it's over. I was looking at this and those on the ship said, of a truth, thou art the Son of God.
Amen.
They crucified Jesus in the 27th chapter of Matthew. Nailed him to an old rugged cross for my sins and for your sins, for the sins of the world. He hung and bled and died, suspended between heaven and earth for you, for me. And I tell you, so many people today don't even appreciate that. I wonder if you appreciate it. I wonder if you ever just, in your prayer, do you ever just say, Lord, I thank you for reaching down below the bottom and pulling me up, plucking me out of the flames of hell, setting my feet on a solid rock. Listen, we need to do that. We need to let the Lord realize these people came and worshiped him and said of a truth, thou art the Son of God. All these things that he did before that in his life, they didn't have a clue who he was. But then when he walked on water and caused Peter to walk on water and saved Peter from drowning and got on a ship with him and the sea calmed, then they said, wow, truly this is the Son of God. How long is it going to take you to learn? When will they ever learn? I tell you, some people never will. But over there in Matthew chapter 27, they crucified my Savior. They nailed him to a cross. And I tell you, they nailed his hands and his feet. Put a crown of thorns on his head. They beat him within inches of his life before they ever got him to the cross. The Roman soldiers, I thought, boy, them Roman soldiers was bad people. Those Roman soldiers was just following orders. They would have turned Jesus loose just as fast as they did Barabbas if that would have been the order. It wasn't the Roman soldiers that had anything against Jesus. It was his own people. He said, I come to my own and my own receive me not. And he came to them and they, instead of receiving him, they said, crucify him. So the Roman soldiers nailed him to a cross. They stood back, they gambled over his clothes. I'm telling you, he was mistreated, abused, and forsaken. The 53rd chapter of Isaiah, we preached that just a few weeks ago. And I'll tell you something, he was forsaken. He didn't have a friend in the world when he went to Calvary. There was nobody hardly standing with him. Mary and Mary Magdalene and John was there. And besides from those three, I don't know that you can name another person that was there at the cross. Out of the 12 disciples, Judas already went and hung himself. But out of the 11 that was left, one of them was at the cross and the rest of them was out somewhere else. Of course, we know what Peter was doing. He was out repenting. I'll excuse that. But the Roman soldiers that put him on that cross and put him to death, Bible said when Jesus said, Father, it's finished. He said, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And he gave up the ghost. And the Bible said that the darkness fell upon the earth. There was an earthquake. And the Bible said the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom. You know why? To open up the way that we could boldly, as the Bible said in Hebrews, let us boldly approach the throne of grace. I don't need a priest to pray for me. I've got a high priest named Jesus, and that's who I go to confess my faults and my failures.
Amen. Praise God.
Him only.
Amen.
The Bible said many that was dead resurrected. There was a lot of things happened at that cross when Jesus died. And you know what they said? The centurion that was standing there with him. And not just the centurion, and all those that were standing with him. When these things began to happen, they said, truly, this was the Son of God.
Amen.
That's when they first come to realize in Matthew 27:54. They realized who it was. They didn't say he is. They said truly this was the Son of God. On the ship in the 14th chapter and 33rd verse, they said of a truth, thou art the Son of God.
Amen.
The Roman centurion, all those with him said truly he was the Son of God.
Yeah.
But I'm thankful. Glory, hallelujah. 3 days later, he came out of the tomb, and he is the Son of God again. I'm glad that he ascended into heaven, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father to make intercession for me when I'm in trouble, because he is the Son of God. When are we ever going to learn? I tell you, the signs are everywhere. People say, if I could just see a miracle. If you'd open your eyes and take your blinders off, you'd see all kinds of miracles.
Yeah.
You know what what our problem is? Because we don't have a brand new automobile, we don't think we're blessed.
Amen.
We don't think we're blessed because we don't live in a mansion. We don't think we're blessed because we don't have steak on the table every night. We don't think we're blessed because of all the things that we don't have. But we don't stop and realize how blessed we are because of all the things that we do have.
Yeah, preach it, brother.
You see, we always look at what we don't.
Right.
When we need to be looking at what we do.
Amen.
God has blessed. There's not a person in this building tonight that could stand and honestly tell me God has never blessed me. If you did, I'm sure I would probably just blurt out, you're a liar, before I even thought about
it.
You're either a liar or you're stupid one. And I know both of those are bad things to say, but I'm telling you, that's the way it is. We are blessed. I woke up this morning still blessed. My wife sang that song, still blessed. I woke up this morning, saw that I'd made it through another night. Still blessed. I went to the living room, had my coffee in the morning, and whether that's good or bad, I don't know, but that's what we do.
Yeah.
If you don't like it, you don't have to drink it. That'll be more for me.
Amen.
Because I'm still blessed.
Right. Amen.
I had breakfast this morning because I'm still blessed. I lived through this day because I'm still blessed. I tell you, I made it to the house of God tonight. Came in, saw all the smiling faces, and I had fellowship with all my brothers and sisters because I'm still blessed. If I'd start concentrating on what I'm blessed with and forget about all the things I don't have, I could smile.
Amen.
That's why a lot of people don't have a smile on their face. They don't count their blessings.
Amen.
I tell you, I know there's a lot of things we'd like to have we don't have, but you're not blessed just because you don't have everything you want. But you are blessed because you have everything you need.
Amen.
And when we get that straight, then we can be like them. We can fall down and worship Him and say, truly, for sure, Thou art the Son of God.
Amen.
While they come tonight and get a song ready, this is the message. Father, we thank you for giving us the privilege to stand tonight. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the spirit we felt. Lord, I thank you, God, that I'm still blessed. Lord, I thank you tonight that you are the Son of God. And I thank you that you're the Savior of the world. Lord, if people would just call on your name, Father, the biggest majority of them could be saved. But Lord, they just keep rejecting you. God, they keep turning you away. They keep saying no. because of things they don't have. But God, I ask you to just help us, Father, to realize and learn to count our blessings. Name them one by one. Father, there'd be so many of them that we wouldn't have time to stop and count what we don't have. Lord, help us, God, to learn as these disciples did on that ship when they came and worshiped you and said, "Surely, truly, for a truth, you are the Son of God." Lord, as those Roman soldiers, even after they'd rejected you, denied you, crucified you, killed you, and watched you die, they came to a realization that you are truly the Son of God. Lord, help us all tonight, Father, to learn this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
While we sing the invitation number, you hear and you don't know that Jesus is the Son of God. You've not figured it out, or you've forgotten. Why don't you come tonight?